on things. We can look back at maybe our own experiences, the experiences of others, and would say that we probably have somewhat of a diversity of opinions when it comes to motherhood and mothering. Some anywhere the spectrum would be to absolutely delightful to not so good. And more than likely it's somewhere in between. But the fact is that we want to take the time to be in the moment and to praise God for motherhood. I think there's one thing that we can totally agree on here, each and every one of us, that if it wasn't for motherhood and mothering, we probably would not be here today. Okay. It's an institution, isn't it? And we want to highlight this wonderful plan, the beauty of Christ's plan, of God's plan, to deliver loving and caring from one generation to another. He's the one that's orchestrated it. He's the one that has ordained it. With all of its troubles, all of its blessings, all of its hardships, all of its joys, all of the adjectives that we can place on it, it is a beautiful thing, the act of mothering. And again, it's the transfer from one generation to another, the act of loving and the act of caring. The poet Wilhelm Busch summed it up this way: to become a mother may not necessarily be so difficult, but to be a mother can be very difficult. And I'm sure that each and every one of us created some difficulty for our mothers over the span of time. Does anybody know Anna M. Jarvis? Kathy does, I know. She's heard it. Anna M. Jarvis. She was the one that first suggested a national observance of Mother's Day. She loved her mother dearly. She thought she was a person that never married. She was a person that never had children. But the concept of motherhood was very dear to her because she absolutely adored her mother. She had a memorial service for her mother back in 1908. And Miss Jarvis gave everybody a carnation, a white carnation. And maybe some of you might know the white carnation and its significance to Mother's Day. It was her mother's favorite flower. Beautiful thing about it is a carnation doesn't lose its petals. When it passes, it draws in its petals to itself. And she saw that as a picture of her mother just drawing her to herself. Within the next few years, it gained importance and gained popularity in several large cities. Until May 9th, 1904, 104 years ago, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established it as, quote, a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers and those who mother the people in our country. And it was customary to wear white carnations for those who had passed. I would be wearing a white carnation. My mother has passed. Or you'd have a red carnation on if your mother was still living. Okay, so that's the official story. The backside of the story about Anne Jarvis was that she was a suffragette. She was a social activist. She was all about women's rights. And she thought that not only was the institution of motherhood a precious thing, but it was also something that could be translated. Those experiences could be translated into the workplace and into the community on a broader perspective. She actually was fairly well accomplished. She lived in Philadelphia, and she was the marketing manager for Fidelity at the time, back in the turn of the century. And she was also a stakeholder in a fairly large cab company at the time. She had some problems with the commercialization of Mother's Day. She was pretty much against the confectionery business, the flower business, and the greeting card business. And her line was that if you were giving your mother a Mother's Day card, it just indicates to me that you weren't able to take the time to actually write her something. And if you were to buy her a box of chocolates and go over and spend the day with her, you'd probably be the one that ate half the box of chocolates. So, that being said, what do you give your mother for Mother's Day? With Anna M. Jarvis peering over our shoulders, it'd be something like this. Mom, what would you like to have for Mother's Day? Well, I would like it if you gave me some of your time to be with me. What a precious thing it is to give time, isn't it? Can you give anything that's more precious to another individual? Well, I would like it if you gave me, in your own words, a memory of something that you and I did that you remember. What a wonderful gift that would be, to be able to take something that was pleasing for your son or your daughter and have them relate it to you. How about a text, a voicemail, or call me on a semi-regular basis? We want to be connected, but we don't want to be connected. But just a little bit of consistency when it comes to talking to the one who had mothered you. Well, I would like it if you gave me an opportunity to give you something that I know that you like. That's a mother's heart, isn't it? I want to give back to you something that was precious when I gave it to you before. I would like it if you gave me a selfie of you and I together. Remember Jonathan talking about selfies. We live in a selfie world. Well, how about if you include mom in the selfie? And I like this one too. I would like it if you gave me a total massage package at the local spa. That would be nice too. The phrase I most often hear from the mother's advocate in my house is, have you called your mom lately? You know, it doesn't take too much to make your mom happy. Remember at Lord in the workplace, Kathy was always telling the young ones, when was the last time that you called your mom? Just important. Okay, for you husbands out there on Mother's Day, how about this? Let's step up your game a little bit. Why don't you make a list of 31 things that your wife does that you seldom thank her for? You can actually take from now to the end of this month. Then come June 1st, you start to download all of those 31 things that you specifically love to hear her, to see or to have her to do. And then if you really want to amp the thing up, come up with 31 things that reflect her good attitudes, her character qualities, her habits, her gifts, her talents, and give that to her in the month of July. I would warn you, though, you're going to have a much better relationship at the end of July than you're having right now if you were to do that. Just saying. So let's define mothering. It's to nurture a child. It's a protective behavior. Sometimes we like it when we say that you're mothering me, don't stop, or should stop mothering me. So it's something that's reminiscent of what was performed. I like this one the best is a writer by the name of Jana Malamud Smith. The essential work of mothering is trying to keep a child alive. Hey, stop, don't put that, you can just hear it, a mother chasing their child. Billy Graham says, of all the people I've ever known, she has had the greatest influence on me. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we need to acknowledge that our mothers had an influence on shaping our lives. Sometimes there might be some controversy there, but when it's all said and done, we would have to say that our mothers had a significant input on that. So may I suggest today that you bless the mother in your life, whoever that might be, with some of these godly verses and some of these godly thoughts. And we'll see if we can get this to work. I'll just do this here. A mother's influence. A kind, encouraging mother has a tremendous effect on a child. If someone could get their Bibles out and read Proverbs 22:6. On his first day as a waiter, a teenage boy excitedly grabbed two trays full of food, burst through the doors of the kitchen, and went out to the dining room recklessly. And as soon as the owner saw that, he immediately called the young teenager and he said, come back here now. You're no longer a waiter. You're a dishwasher. The boy was devastated. So after work, the boy rushed home, and in tears, he spilled the story to his father. Now, his father said, here's the way you need now to not be reckless, and here now you need to build trust back with your employer, and you need to follow these steps. After the lecture, the boy looked sadly at his father and said, you know what? Mom would have given me a hug. A mother's comfort can be a powerful thing. It's a mighty thing. When a child is hurt, he's upset, he's frustrated, It's the mother they go running to for comfort first and advice later. Mothers more than fathers, I may be generalizing here, but they are more sensitive to the hurts and slights of a young child than the man might be. They can instill in their child solid values of Scripture and impress upon the individual that, you know, God is going to take care of all things in His time if you lean on His understanding. And really guiding that individual up into being a person of integrity. And that's really what we want, right? Not only for ourselves, but certainly for our children. We want people of integrity. Let's see if I can get this to work here. Respect for parents. The Ten Commandments includes honoring our father and our mother. Someone could go to Exodus 20, 12 and read that, please.
Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given
you. You know, God gave us a firm building block of society. And really, the picture of the family is really a picture of the church in many ways. When parents are obeyed and respected, when a child receives discipline and love, then the overall society benefits. It's really like a math expression. Respectful children plus love and discipline equals a better society. Thinking about while I was preparing, if we were to spend just 18 months as a country on that formula, respectful children plus love and disciplined treatment equals a better society. Can you imagine how the Lord Jesus could just exponentially change things here? Another story, waiting to board a plane on which he had a reservation, Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt Jr. Now, for those of you who don't know who that would be the eldest son of President Teddy Roosevelt. He was president about 120 years ago. This is around World War I, so Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt overheard the plea of a private at the ticket window. I'm going overseas in 3 days, and I'd love to see my mother before I go. I can go home and back only if I travel by plane, he exclaimed. He was told that every seat on the plane was taken. Just then, Brigadier General Roosevelt stepped forward and said, I'll surrender my seat to him. And immediately a fellow officer protested and said, but this is a matter of rank. Roosevelt said, that's right. He quickly replied, he's a son and I'm only a general. And you know, thinking about that, respecting one's parents. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has called you and I as sons and daughters, right? We can't be grandchildren. In order to be in God's economy, in order to be in God's family, we have to be a son or a daughter. And He's called us a son. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior today. He wants you to enter into His family. One more thought. The author of life. Can someone please read Psalm 139, verse 13, please? You know, He is the creator of all life, isn't He? But He's immersed individuals into that plan of bringing not only life forward, life through a mother, but also to enable Him to give the blessing of a life through a mother. What I have here is that in His plan, motherhood's a special gift. It's a cooperation. I was thinking, really, better yet, it's a joint venture with our Heavenly Father to bring forth His blessings in the life of a child. You know, none of us is here by mistake. We may say that we've got problems, and we do have. The problems are real. We may have things that are insurmountable in our own strength, but God wants to bless us through so many things in our lives. It's like what we heard at the breaking of bread in Psalm 107. Hard times for the nation of Israel. Desperate times for the nation of Israel. So was God just playing with these people? No. He's drawing them to Himself. Through their experiences, He's drawing them to themselves or to Himself. And women have that wonderful privilege of being part of that. In 1992, someone calculated what things we do in a typical lifespan of 70 years. Now, I know that was a ways away, and probably some of these things might change. But let me just go through them. How many years do you think you sleep in the average of 70 years? 23. 23 years. We work for 16 years. Now, these would be solid hours. TV, it's probably more now, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. That's probably now 12 years. illness is 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. How much do you think about spiritual things? 6 months. 6 months. For those of you who are immersed in mothering and in motherhood, I would hope that any aspect of anybody's life over the span of their lives, that it's all being done for the glory of God. What truly matters? If someone could turn to Proverbs 11:16. You know, it says here, in our upside-down world, society, some people may be highly esteemed, while mothers, meh, not so much. But in God's eyes, it's a high calling, something to be highly esteemed, something that's held precious in His sight. I'm sure many of the aspects of those who are involved in motherhood, that come that day when they're now in glory, and they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ when He says, good, well done, thou faithful servant. Many of the aspects of that could probably be in regards to mothering. You know, a census taker, does everybody know what a census taker is? Every 10 years, this country takes a census. It counts everybody. And the old way they used to do it is a census taker stepped up to a home and a mother was asked how many children were in the house. She responded, well, there's Billy, there's Harry, there's Martha. Never mind the names, just tell me what the number is. And the mother said, rather indignantly, they haven't got numbers. They all have names. But doesn't that speak volumes? Today's society just wants to pigeonhole, compartmentalize, digitize the youth of this nation. We would have nothing to do with that. Honoring God in the nurturing of children is a sweet savor to God. And I know at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not necessarily a sweet savor, but you'll miss it when it's gone. Trust me. A couple more. Cling to God. Wisdom comes from God. Foolishness comes from the world. Someone could read Proverbs 14:1.
The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands.
A woman builds her household on the word of God. What a wonderful thing. That firm foundation. We know in the New Testament, there is no other foundation than that which is laid on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly a woman who has directed her household, firmly based and established on the word of God, is doing a wondrous thing in the eyes of God. In contrast, a woman who follows the morals or the fads of today, their house is going to leak. It's just going to have a leaky roof. There's no two ways about it. Socrates, of all people, put it this way. You cannot learn godly wisdom in a university and get a degree in it. It can only come to a heart in right relationship with God and seeking it. The only true wisdom is knowing that you really know nothing. We need to cling to God, don't we? We need to cling to God. Marriage is a blessing. God established marriage in the Garden of Eden. Someone could read Proverbs 18:22, please. You know, a woman in a happy marriage is three times blessed, and I would put it in this priority. She receives love from God. There's going to be times when spouses are not going to deliver the love that a woman needs. She's going to receive love from God first. She's going to receive love from her husband, and she's going to receive a blessing from the love that she gives to her husband. God established marriage. And again, I would say for all of its foibles and problems and issues and things that need to be worked through, it is a sweet savor and is something to be highly valued. Be exceptional. To build Christ-like character is one of a woman's greatest accomplishments. This one's a little lengthy. If someone could read Proverbs 31, 10 through 12 first. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. And then 25 through 31, please. Somebody.
Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she lasts the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellent things.
I'd like to just sum this up in one way. When a wife or a mother raises other people up that are around her, she's raising them up to the Lord and shows the compassion of the Savior. It is truly a wondrous thing, and something I would say that only a woman or a mother can do. She's a helpmate to her husband and an inspiration to her children. Reflecting the qualities of Jesus is exactly what God would have us to do when it comes to bringing the blessings of life. It's that building up and standing up the integrity of a young child. True to the end. She loved her son. Nothing could keep her away. So if someone would turn to John 19, verses 25 through 27. You know, as we turn our focus on the suffering of the cross, a despicable, disgraceful, criminal execution of our Lord and Savior. And I would like to put it in perspective. If you read some of the histories about Roman crucifixion, it wasn't necessarily the way you see it in movies, where the cross is way up here. It's the cross is like right here. Because it was even more agony for an individual to only be inches off the ground in that type of suffering. And it was also a vivid, vivid, horrible experience for the individuals to be able to look right into the eye of the one that shortly would lose their life. We think about the compassion of his mother. The agony that she must have gone through. What she experienced, and we know in very many portions of Scripture where we see that she contemplated things in her heart. And the things that she contemplated about her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was now coming to fruition when it came to the agony of this boy whom she had raised. But just think of the wonderful reunion after the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and his mother sees him. And he's alive, and he's well. What a wonderful, happy experience. And I would say that translation, or that will be translated to you and I at that point in time when we're able to gaze on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She was true to the end. What a wonderful, wonderful reunion. I'd be wearing a white carnation today because my mom's in glory. But for those of you that would be wearing a red carnation, for those of you that have your moms with you, first, what a blessing that is. And I would ask that you do this, that you take a look and maybe listen to the words of this poem. and consider them. If you have a smile for your mother, give it now. She'll not need it as she enters heaven's golden gate. Give the smiles while she's living. If you wait, 'twill be too late. If you have a flower for your mother, pluck it now. Place it gently on her bosom. Print a kiss upon her brow. What cares she when life is over? For the flowers that bloom below, she will have her share up yonder, scattered at her feet in heaven's glorious glow. I'm going to take you back to that mother's advocate in my own home. Have you called your mom lately? You know, it doesn't take too much to make your mom happy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for our mothers. Father, we think back at our lives with those who mothered us. And Father, we can think of good, we can think of bad, but Father, we're just here in the moment, exactly where we're at. If there's people here that are looking forward to that day when they may be mothers, if there's ones that are looking back in their mothering years, if there are ones that are right in the moment of taking care of children, Father, we want to give you the glory in every aspect of that. We thank you for this institution of mothers. We thank you that it's the translation of loving, kind caring from one generation to another. Father, I would ask that you would strengthen our mothers today. Father, that you would give them an extra blessing. Whether their children are far or near, Father, we would ask that they would be close in memory. They would be close to you, Father. We thank you that you love us so much. So we want to give mothers all the glory that's due to them today. Father, we love them, we respect them, and we thank you for them. In Christ's name, amen.